and has the privilege of carrying this vision. It's amazing, and it's happening. And boy, my heart wanted to be there, but the Lord said, stay here, so I did. But great and mighty things happened while we were here, and good things happened here as well. But great things happened overseas, and I'm still getting filled in on a lot of the good stuff, living with my beloved best friend, and telling me what happened and everything. And I know we've been here, and we've had the privilege of getting updates. You guys did a great job with those, with the written updates and also with pictures. And Pastor Bill just said that if you guys can dig those out, you can just have them running in the background if you want, the different pictures. So I don't know what you have to do that, so you can just kind of keep them running. And did you want to join the land? Yeah, any parents who feel that their child would be okay sitting through hearing all this, this is a missionary, not a report, it's a over everyone. I just can't wait to receive. So if you feel that your child would benefit from that, then keep your child here, that'd be fine. If you prefer that they go to Kingdom Land, then hop to it. Kingdom Land it is. So... Lord. So any of the junior hires, if you want to stay in here and find out a little bit more about this, you know, go ahead and stay. You'll get blessed. I love these kids. You know, the Lord, when we place something out like this, it's very humbling to see, to remember the beginnings and to think about what God has started. And how we want to see it come to fruition, come to completion, because God is good, and He really, really wants to see things happen the way He's designed them. So this is pretty good. You know, I know that just kind of waiting here, not stalling, just blessing as they come back, so nobody misses anything. But God wants us to know that He's very serious about this season and this time. He really knows what He's doing. And He's called us to be able to jump into what He wants to do around the world. And I think that's the privilege that He wants us to grab hold of really strongly. We have a team that's getting prepared now. And you met them a couple weeks ago, going to Brazil. The first part of January, team of, is it 10? 9. And we're also putting together, we have... winter trips coming up, spring trips and such, and we're still trying to get that moving. But we do have our dates for Mozambique, and so we'll be... There's the pictures. This is great. So, anyway, lots is happening right now. A lot is happening, and God is wanting us to give the attention today and this time to what God is doing in Ghana and how that affects us here. And I believe we'll all be changed after hearing whatever it is they want us. So who might that be, my love?
Well, I think one of the things that all of us felt was when we go back to Ghana, we're so used to the people that we minister with, and that we're with Pastor Samuel and Mahavira and Pastor Dan and others that are there. You can almost get into, oh, I'm back in Ghana again. Oh, of course. Oh, yeah, I know the place where we're going to stay. Oh, I know the place we're going to go. And so on. But fortunately, the Lord touches your heart in a new way and brings something fresh. It's kind of like coming to frontline. You can kind of get used to it. Even though the worship may go to a new level or so on, oh, yeah, well, I knew it was going to go here sooner or later. You could kind of get used to it. But actually, these are precious things. Very precious things. And so in Ghana, one of the things that I noticed that went up probably I didn't realize it, that it hadn't happened until it happened, was that normally they do the African with worship first to start off a session or whatever it might be, or to end a session. And they just kind of do that, and we sing along with what we can sing along with, and you know, some of us know the words better than others, and we can go out and we can dance with them as they go in a circle and dance, and in the north they have quite a bit of shaking and rocking and rolling going on that they don't have in the south. It's totally two different cultures within the same culture. But they usually do that separate. And I noticed as Josh was leading worship for our team, that they joined in with their instruments. They started out, I think, joining in with their dance, and then a couple of us were dancing, and they switched over to our type of dancing. Here were Ghanaian men and women going, you know, dancing around like this, instead of the normal, you know, whatever they were doing. And they started to prophetically sing.
Yeah.
The girl got on the microphone. Josh is still playing guitar. I'm still playing guitar. We're singing. She comes in and sings about freedom.
Wow.
It was a joining of the two cultures. And until that happened, I hadn't, you know, really thought about, you know, well, we always do it separate, and they kind of try to sing our songs, and we try to sing theirs. But the Holy Spirit was showing something much better. Two cultures able to come together. You know, we could enter into what they were doing. They entered into what we were doing. We picked up their rhythm. They picked up a little of our rhythm. It wasn't one particular thing. It wasn't our type of worship, and it wasn't theirs. And I just, while I was playing and experiencing that, it was just a closeness in the spirit between our team and the people there gathered. It was just a sweet, sweet moment. And we told them and offered to them that worship is our whole life. It's everything we do, everywhere we go. Now, we hear that often here. But there, it tends to be they worship when they worship, and then the rest of their life is a struggle in many cases. And so they seem to really enjoy that. Some of the comments that we had them share after sessions. And many of them said, I really learned that worship is all the time, whatever I do, wherever I go, whether I'm working or whether I'm feeding my family or whatever it might be, that I can still be in connection with the Lord and still be worshiping. So the closeness to me of having an entire teaching week on the theme of worship that came because of that, it was just special. Very special for this trip. So I think that there's even more. As I was sharing this week, the Lord just kept saying to me, okay, they need to know that there's more, always more. And so they pray a lot. They pray and 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 they pray. And we can take example from that. But it was a new concept for many of them that you can listen. You just listen to the Lord and soak in His presence and let Him speak to you. And so in the soaking times and in some of the times that we had together where we were just quiet for a short while and let them hear from the Lord and then share afterwards what they heard, it was a whole new dimension for them. It went a little higher in their relationship with communicating with the Lord. Because it's not all about talking to Him, is it? I said, it's not all about talking to Him, is it?
No.
Because He has so much to say to us. And He has so many things He wants to speak into our life. And so it's a two-way communication, speaking up to Him, having Him speak to us as an ongoing communication. So some of the things they shared on that were just amazing. Some of the testimonies they pulled back on some of those things. Another thing, we talked about baptism of the Holy Spirit. And many of them received that for the first time with evidence of speaking in tongues.
Wow.
And it was just awesome as they were sweetly just receiving that baptism of the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues. And then I shared with them, there's something even greater than that, to go to the throne room and experience the Lord there. And take your language with you. Take your humility of receiving the Holy Spirit with you when you go to the throne room and worship Him up there. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. It's great to worship here. It's wonderful. We enjoyed it this morning, but we also have a time we can actually go in the Spirit to the throne room. It was just so, the looks on their faces and the joy that they had in hearing that there was always something more. Because if you've been to Africa or many parts of the world, they tend to do the same things over and over and over again. And they're looking for someone to say, hey, there's more. And I really believe this team was sent to be an example of that for them. Not just talk about it, but actually give testimonies of going to the throne room, worshiping Him there, coming back and sharing with the people what that's like. And then when they came back with what they brought back from the throne room, how encouraging to know that the students are not just students. They're active participants. I want to share. It's okay. Maybe we have Kodak moments or more than Kodak moments.
Yeah, as Pastor Bill said, one of my favorite parts of the Kingdom Bible School was when we would invite them up to share things that they had either received in a soaking time or things that they had learned. We just asked them to, you know, come up and review, you know, something, share back something that you have learned in this time. And the things that they would come up and say, sometimes it took a little time at first. I'd have to make some comments about, are we talking to the trees? Because why is no one coming up here? And so then, you know, they'd start coming up and they'd just come and they'd come and they'd come and they'd come. And they would just share these powerful, powerful truths that were things that, yes, we taught on, but then they would go even further. They would bring in, they would say, well, we talked about this, and then it reminded me of this Bible passage, and they would go into a passage that we hadn't even touched on that related perfectly. Or they would go bring in, well, we talked about this, and then in soaking, I saw this, and it would be an amazing vision of the throne room, or just different ways that they were experiencing God. And when we talked about, Deanna and I had the opportunity to share on soaking, and we just had a short time right then that we had, you know, a few songs play for them to soak during and invited some people up to share testimonies. And Deanna and I had talked a lot about, you know, you can see visions and God can speak to you in words and in different ways. And we didn't really talk about how God can physically, you'll feel something physical in your body. We didn't even mention that. And yet when they were coming up to give testimonies, multiple people said, I felt my heart was shaking, or I felt my whole body was shaking. The one woman's like, I'm still shaking, you know, as she was holding the microphone. And so it was just really amazing, the things that God was doing in each person. And hearing those things back after, you know, we had been speaking them out, but just the way that they had really impacted each person, and, you know, they had taken it and it had become their own. And we could tell that it was something that when they went back to their villages, when they went back to their church branches, that they were not only going to be able to grow personally, but they were also going to be able to share these things back in their churches. So that was just so, so rewarding to me to see, you know, most of you are there with the pastors and the leaders and 140 people total that came, you know, mature ones, they said, at the churches were the ones that they invited to come to the Kingdom Bible School. And just knowing that it wasn't just going to be a 1 week of teaching these people and then they would leave and then they would go back home, but it's going to continue. And being able to tell from last year when, I think Pastor Samuel said there was about 50 people that came to the Kingdom Bible School, this year there was 140 people that were there all week and received certificates of giving. So, yeah, plus their children, a lot of which were, you know, the kids were, oftentimes, especially the older ones were listening, the kids were the ones taking notes for their parents because they were the ones that were more familiar with English and able to write it down. So it was really, really incredible. And just knowing, you know, that it's evidence of what happened last year, the growth that has occurred and stirring up in people's hearts to come this year and even have so many more people come. So we know that that's because of all of the years of sowing that's been going on and gone, year after year after year after year. You know, we're seeing the harvest more and more even now. And so it was just so amazing to be a part of. And then there was another time where we just met with the actual pastors or leaders of the church. It was a group of 10 or 11. So a smaller group, and we just had a time of each sharing our hearts with them, and Josh got to impart some of his messages that he shared here on honor and that sort of thing. And I just had a chance to share with them how blessed I was by their hearts and by their humility. And because what I told them was, you know, you can tell I'm a young girl. I come from the United States. I've lived there my whole life. And coming here, I really felt like, God, what do I have to share with these pastors and these leaders who have lived in Ghana? I can't even imagine the difficulties, the struggles that they've gone through in their lives and the things that they've overcome. And to be a pastor in Ghana, I can't wrap my mind around what that entails in any means. And so I just, you know, I got to share that with them and just how amazing it was, their hearts of humility to come and to receive. And they were so grateful that we were there and just so blessed by everything that each one of us was sharing. You know, they were engaged and they were listening. And so really their hearts of humility were just so beautiful to me. And you know, as I was sharing a lot, there was one man specifically that he just had the most pleasant smile on his face. Like he was honored by our hearts, and we were so blessed by their hearts, and it was really just a beautiful coming together. And you know, God is of course honored above all else, and it was just amazing the way that he used each of us. I was so wrecked by the whole experience, really.
Jesus. So I really felt like when we were in the north, like we're starting our own village, is how it felt. Because, you know, for those of you that have been in an African village, you know they kind of have a common area, whether it be a well or they go get water from the river and bring it in big, you know, trash cans to everyone to scoop from, and they each have their own kind of little huts that all kind of cook together in the middle. Everybody helps everybody else watch their children, and so it's kind of this big group of people who communally live and help take care of each other and can all do their own little things, but their own little things interact with everybody else's. So, in the morning, just to give you kind of a picture of the daily life there, you know, in the morning starting at 4:30, 5 o'clock, and they would be up, you know, sweeping with their brooms the sand to get the church, you know, building, the area around there where the tents were, and you know, all our around our house, they get all the trash and make it the leaves and get it all clean. And then every kind of family, so you have 12 different branch churches in the north. And so all of those branch churches are coming from one location, some walking, some being, you know, shipped in by vans and buses, some taking taxis, some families driving families. So you have 12 different branch churches all coming to one location,
and not just going to church there for a day, but living there, all of them. So you start out with 300 on Sunday, give or take, and then now you're down to, you know, 110, 120 adults on Monday, plus their children, and then up to about 150 adults by Friday with their children. Well, they have to have a place to sleep, they have to have a place to eat, they have to wash their clothes, you know, everything that we do here, but you're in the middle of a bush. So the well, the electricity, all of the things that we have put on that land, you know, by the privilege of the Lord for kingdom of expansion, that those very things were taking care of our little village.
Wow.
While we're having, you know, the Kingdom Bible School. So in the morning, you've got a line of 20 women with, you know, these big bowls, you know, this big, metal deep, filling it up with water. You know how heavy that is, and then plopping it on their heads and walking across the ravine to their little side where their tents are, washing their clothes, washing the dishes, bathing their children with it, you know, everything, every day, all the time. And so I really felt like it was almost like God was using us to take care of a village. And we, you know, the well was the fountain, you know, that's providing water, food, life, everything to this one little place. They need electricity. We just run a wire from our house over to the church. I mean, you just get this visual picture of these basic things, electricity and water, just, you know, being the fountainhead from our land and just kind of spreading out from there. And so it was a picture to me in the spirit of what was going on in the natural. That, you know, this is a place where people come, there's pure water, there's clean water, there's, you know, it's a source, it didn't run out. We filled the poly tank many times a day, but it didn't run out. Turned the pump on, it didn't run out, it just kept flowing. And the food, okay, now we're thinking we have 60 people. And we have contacts coming us to saying, what do we do, what do we do, what do we do? You know, and we're like, well, we can pray for multiplication, or we can pay for the food. Praise God. And Pastor Bill's just, you know, fatherly heart and just giving heart and just, you know, soft, easy to work with. It's not a big deal. Let me open up the zipper and here's some more money. Wow. So there's so many times in Africa where, you know, when you don't know that you have a big daddy taking care of you, then everything is a struggle. Where when you know you've got a big daddy taking care of you, then you can walk in inheritance. You can walk in receiving. You can walk in these kind of things that they may at times have a theoretical picture of, but are they actually seeing it? False promises, you know, people coming in and saying X, Y, and Z and then never coming back. Pastors that are, you know, really believing that their church is going to grow but never grows. They may not have the funds. Their lives are filled with what they want to walk in as sonship and inheritance, and they want to, but their lives are filled with many times when they want to live and think like that, but they're challenged daily with who's going to take care of them. How am I going to be taken care of? What's going to happen? So as you can imagine, to live like a son whose dad has everything, which is the spiritual reality of how we are as Christians. Our Father in heaven owns everything. And he has everything. And it's not a problem. It's not a contest. It's not a begging match. He has it all. And he can take care of us. That's the reality. But to live like that when the resources look scarce, to live like that when the challenges are big, life and death and all of these things, it would seem like you're constantly being bombarded with, well, I want this to be my reality, but what I see with my eyes is how an orphan would be. You know, if I'm given food, I'm going to eat as much as I can all at once because I have no clue when I'm going to eat next. And I don't care about anyone else around me. It's just take care of me so that I survive. If I'm given something, I almost take it instead of receive it because it's like, So they're bombarded with that kind of thing every day, but in the kingdom, there's inheritance. In the kingdom, there's sonship. And so to see these people get a visual picture of that, in reality, not just let's theoretically talk about it, but this is a visual picture, that can change their lives of how they live every day. Then they're not worshiping a God they have to beg something out of. It's their dad who loves them and is going to take care of them. A completely different kind of worship. They're not looking to another pastor or white people from America for funds. They're looking to God, and however God provides that, they know he's going to. They're not thinking, well, the grass might be greener on the other side, so I'm going to take my congregation to another church and split and cause division. And, you know, they can submit to the overseer of all of these churches and just know God's going to take care of me because he favors me as a son, and I'm the pastor. Not, I've got to fight for my right for my church. Mm-hmm. You know, all of these different things that could be realities, God is just giving us and giving them a picture of what it's really meant to be like. And so I really believe that a lot of the things that we got to share with them in Kingdom Bible School about worship, the things that we got to share with them in leaders meeting, we're going in and we're impacting their spiritual understanding of their standing in heaven, their spiritual understanding of who they are. And when that's impacted, as you know, and when we all know, you know, you live differently, you think differently, you receive differently, you worship differently. Everything changes because you're changing the very core, how you think of the very core of who God is and who you are. And if you accurately see who God is, what he's like, and who you are in him, everything changes. And so I had a picture during our kingdom throne room worship session. Kind of this reality, but in a picture form. The whole group was kind of holding their hands out in front of them, receiving from heaven as we were, you know, engaging heaven. And I had this picture of feet walking on the sand down to the ocean. Just saw feet. They were mostly African feet because they were dark skinned. And then people were being baptized in the ocean. I just saw their feet until they actually went underneath the water. And when the person would go underneath the water, as soon as their body came up out of their water, their spirit would shoot to heaven, like a flash of light, kind of, you know, right up into the throne room, as soon as they were coming out of the water. And and it would happen one after another. And as they would, like, shoot up into the throne room, and it was kind of this abstract-looking throne room, and they started to fill the throne room, the spirits of these people on Earth, in kind of a three-dimensional, almost helical pattern. But so they were filling the throne room in, you know, front to back, side to side, so length, width, and depth, and then also height up and down. So it wasn't the throne room is flat, and I'm seeing a picture of people standing. It was all three-dimensional. Their spirits were filling this up. And they're kind of like this substance in heaven that was very shiny and glowy and sparkly, and it just kind of went all through the throne room and surrounded the spirits of these individuals. So one after another, spirits of heaven, baptized, spirits of heaven, just filling the throne room. And then at the end of it, the gaze kind of in the vision, or in the picture, went back down to earth, and I saw this connection between the physical body that had been baptized and then came out of the water, and the spirit in the firmer. So it was this connection constantly. Spirit in here, spirit up there, and connected. And that substance of heaven that was around them, sparkly, glowy, lighty, was all around the person. So as the person walked, it kind of like an amoeba, kind of morphed and followed them and went wherever they went. And then, you know, I saw myself and our team kind of as we were going around in this picture. And we pray for people that substance of heaven would, you know, come around our arm, and then we touch their head, and then it would surround that person as we were praying for them. And in the scripture, this is extremely biblical. Because, you know, in Romans 6, we know that when we're crucified with Christ and we're in baptism, it symbolizes that our old life is done away with. It's crucified, it's buried, it's gone. No old man, gone. It's crucified with Christ. And then as we come out of the water, it symbolizes that even as we died with him, so we will live with him in the newness of life. And so as you're coming out of the water, it represents that. And in Ephesians, it talks about how we're seated in heavenly places. So our spirit actually physically resides in the throne room constantly, but yet our body is here on earth, and there's this connection. And so the kingdom of God is within us. So as we're walking, this substance of heaven is constantly surrounding us. The picture is extremely biblical, but it was a picture of the reality of how we actually are. And was able to share that with the Kingdom Bible School, and just all of those things kind of were just really impacting me that, man, this is changing the core of who these people are. Not just about worship, even though that's huge and the core, you know, down to the core of worship is so critical, but really impacting how they see God. Who is God? And then who they are as sons and daughters of Father God, of the living God, of who he is. And seeing them having this visual picture of what that was like in every day. And then them experiencing these same pictures. Every day that they would share, they had their own pictures to share. We'd have people have pictures of mango trees. You know, mango tree in the middle of the pavilion where we met for worship. A huge mango tree. Well, you know, think about what that could mean. One lady had a picture. She was praying for people, and they were falling down in the spirit. And then after that picture, she had a picture of this mango tree with lots of ripe fruit on it. And, you know, another lady had a picture of this wind was, you know, like blowing across her. She kind of like felt that this wind was there. And then she saw these two, like, she didn't call them angels, but these tall people with wings and white garments. You know, so dream interpretation or picture interpretation in those instances, you know, not too difficult. Your picture means. And so they were having their own encounters that way, and just really feel that this land and this kind of land in the physical, but also this land in the spirit is really going to be a gateway to all of Africa, the North, Ghana, but it's kingdom transformation from its very core level of who is God, who are you, and operating in sonship, operating in inheritance. You have an inheritance, even though you don't see it, even in the natural, even though, you know, you may not see even a physical person who you can receive it from. In the kingdom, you have inheritance. That's who you are. You can operate from a place of inheritance, not from a place of lack. And I just really believe it's going to be largely transforming. And they can see it. They can see it with their eyes. So the more they saw it with their eyes, the more they were grabbing a hold of it. And they're just blessing my socks off because they really were grabbing a hold of it. When they shared, you knew they got it. They would say some of the same words you said to them, not written out, from, you know, their mind and their hearts. Same words right back to you. The one day, yeah, days later. And they would share back and say, oh, well, you taught us about X, Y, and Z, and this is what it means, and this is what it would be. Almost word for word, or other instances not word for word, like Carly was saying, they share something back, and they make a connection in the spirit to something else, and they share back about it. They would even have the scriptures that we taught on, the topics that we taught on, and they were sharing them back to us, and it's just like, you're getting it. They're getting it. Wow, God, they're really getting it. Like, so we're going to see more pictures. We're going to see more teams. We're going to see more finances come in to fund this. And it's a reality.
So for me, this trip was a lot about remembering. I
was last in Ghana in 2009, before that in 2004, but I was on those first teams that went to the north. And so that first Sunday, we show up in the middle of the night, and when he says we had a village, we literally were putting tents up for these people at like 4 a.m. So they, you know, we are there Saturday night, Sunday morning, and we get up on Sunday morning and walk over to the pavilion, which is packed, beyond packed. There are people flowing outside. There are so many people. There really wasn't room for all of them. And so I'm taking pictures and all excited to be there, and I'm crying the whole time. And so these women and children who are close enough to see me are, like, watching me. You know, what is wrong with her? So we get to the introduction, and I'm, you know, I introduce myself and, you know, commented to them, you know, you see me standing up here with the camera, and some of you could see that I was crying, and they're nodding, like, yes, we saw you crying. And I said, you know, I just wanted to let you know that I'm crying because I was here when none of you were here. None of you. And so, now I'm going to cry here. But to remember those first trips and to see what God has done, because those 300 people are not a product of our teams going. We planted a seed, and the people that we invested in went out to their communities. Those 300 people aren't there because teams went and did dramas in villages. We put it out there, and then they did the work. They ran with it. They planted all of these branches. We, Frontline, has not been there to plant 12 or 17 or however many branches there are. They've done that. You know, we were faithful in our step, which in the big picture of the whole wide world was not a huge step. Like, okay, we got plane tickets, we learned a drama, and here we are. But God took that small step and is ultimately, as Josh is sharing, going to transform an entire community and then into other parts of Africa. So just to remember what it started at and to see where it is and to have the vision for where it's going is not even something I think can be communicated in words. It has to be caught. And for those of you who have been there, like, it's happening. The things we talked about 10 and 11 years ago are happening today. For those of you who haven't been there, Carly had a whole different trip than many of the things Josh and I were telling her about. She's like, wow, you guys said X, Y, Z. We're like, yep, now there's a road. Like, that's great. But for me, I guess some of you have probably seen or heard some of what I'm going to share in updates and photos because they were like the headline things. But for me, I'm basically going to share about Thursday because it was just a very powerful day in terms of seeing lives transformed and really being able to wrap our minds around what God was doing on an individual level. And as he's doing it in multiple individuals, it becomes this giant corporate force of life from heaven. So last Sunday when we called, I mentioned that Pauline was like a totally different woman. If you saw in the pictures, we were told Monday, scratch that sentence. On Monday afternoon, we were sharing, and there's a woman who is encountering a spirit that is not from the Lord. And so Josh and I were able to talk to her a little while, and in the evening, Pastor Samuel says to us, oh yes, I heard that they have brought a mad woman. Josh and I said, we met her. Josh and I had not met her, we met somebody else. So on Tuesday, we had finished with morning ministry, and they said, well, you know, you need to come over and pray for this woman. They are from far, far away, wherever that is. Their primary language is not even the primary language of what is being spoken where we're having Kingdom Bible School. And so this girl was just basically living on a bench under the Shana tree, and we hadn't even realized she was there because she wasn't communicating. She was just there. So for all we knew, she was someone's child. We didn't know. She's probably in her 20s. I mean, she wasn't young, but she wasn't, you know, however you want to take it. So we sat down with her, and shared the gospel with her, prayed for her that first day, and saw, I wouldn't say we saw a lot of change immediately. Her mother tried to ask her, she was wearing a rosary. Josh asked if we could have that, if she would be willing to exchange that. She had had an experience with some very nasty, witchcrafty kinds of things that had brought her to this place of being very combative. When her mother would try to approach her, she kind of hit at her. She was just not verbal. It was not a good situation. There's not somewhere, you don't have the option to take someone in that situation and check them into a hospital. So she is here with her mother. In order to get her there, you saw probably the photos of the ankle irons that they brought her in. This is Pauline. And can we see the next picture with the ankle irons? And it's not the first time we've seen this in Ghana, but it's heartbreaking no matter how many times you see it. Because this is a human being who is literally being managed by being put in chains in order to protect themselves and the people around them. Like, that's heartbreaking. There's not another word for it. And so on Thursday, basically on Wednesday, I went over and I sat down with her and I told her, I said, Pauline, we're going to be friends. Now, she doesn't really speak English. I just told her, like, I am going to be your friend, whether you like it or not, that this is how it's going to be. And so I sat with her in the afternoon. It rained. She was out under a tree. She had actually gone out to use a spot for the bathroom just as the rain came in. So she is drenched. She's wearing this type of fabric. She's shivering. She still has these ankle irons on. One of our contacts went over to get her. She was still fairly combative at that point. And I knew she needs to come in from under the tree or she's just going to continue to be wet. Plus, it puts her in the pavilion where God is showing up and doing something. Not that God can't go the 50 yards to the tree. You know, he's God. But to get her in the pavilion was going to be really important. And so I walked over and felt like Holy Spirit told me, if you go, she'll come with you. Because I've been sitting with her often enough that I felt like she will respond to me differently than I see her responding right now to these Ghanaian pastors who she's about to get into a fight with. So I went over, and they were literally about to call men over to physically pick her up and carry her, which I didn't feel like was going to be a great plan at that moment. And so when I got there, I was able to take her hand, and she walked the best she could in these ankle irons and came over under the pavilion with us. By Thursday morning, and we were praying for her each day, by Thursday morning they came, when I went to sit with her, one of the pastors came up to me and I thought he was just coming up to tell me something, you know, oh, Josh says you're ready for whatever. I didn't know, but he came up with the key. And I almost cried at that moment because I was like, oh, you have a key. You just showed up here with a key. And he said, she's coming to her senses. We're going to unlock her this morning. So on Thursday morning, Pauline was released from her ankle irons. She began to be very responsive at that point. During times we were singing, she would be humming or singing along. She started to speak. She had not spoken at all for 4 months prior to last week. Her family and people around her were telling us she's coming to her senses. To me, I'm still seeing a girl who's sleeping on a bench under a tree, who is very still fearful, not making a lot of eye contact, but all of our Ghanaian pastors are saying she's healed. She's being healed. She's being healed. And we could see that progress. By Sunday of last week, Josh and I were at the church in the pavilion, and Pastor Bill and Carly were at another branch. And Pauline came under the pavilion for church. And afterwards, she and I had been sitting there, and we would have these conversations. She would talk to me in her language, and I would say, oh, you really think so? And she would tell me something else. And I would be like, well, maybe, you know, and we just would talk. You know, she was probably making perfect sense, and I just had no idea what she was telling me about. So she would talk to me, and I would answer, and, you know. Some things, I believe that she has had some schooling, because some things, if I was asking a basic question in English, like a yes or no question, she was able to give a correct answer and to respond. So I feel like she probably had some amount of education prior to all of this. And so she came over, and by Sunday afternoon, we were having a percussion party after everybody had left. She was playing the xylophone with me. which was a really big deal. It was a really big deal. Sunday night, she ate s'mores with us, which was also a big deal. She and I were singing and dancing. She didn't get up to dance with me. She mostly was laughing at me trying to dance like I was a barbarian. But, you know, for her to be that engaged was just so powerful to see, because it's such a tangible picture of what it is that Jesus came to do. You know, this girl is literally in chains. So many others are in spiritual chains. And to see that transformation, when we were leaving on Monday morning, her mother hugged us. I think she hugged all of us, maybe. But she said through a translator, "Next time you come, I will bring her, and you will see her. She will be strong." And it was like, this woman has caught what God is doing. And so to hear that and see that with Pauline was just incredible. So Thursday morning was a really great morning. Pauline's chains came off. When we got to the afternoon session, we did the, you know, come share something you've been learning. And the pastor that Carly mentioned from the pastor's training, who was very, very sweet-spirited, very genuine, very humble, smiling, engaged with what God was doing, he comes to the front and kind of says, "Well, Pastor Bill had mentioned about Ballara and Nyanye, and that's where I'm from, and I felt like I should tell you the rest of what God has done, but it just didn't seem like the right time." We're like, okay. So he starts, you know, to say, after he started by telling us that when a team had come a number of years ago, he gave his life to the Lord. And often when a team does a drama, particularly in an environment where we're planting a church, whoever the national contact is there. They're taking names of the people who get saved to be able to follow up and invite them to worship in that new church plant. So he said someone was taking names, and he gave his name and said that he would come worship there. So however many years ago that was, this man is now the church leader in that particular branch, which is amazing by itself. So then he starts to say, you know, as Pastor Bill had mentioned during the teaching time, and many of us know here, after 2009, when the team had been there, Ballara, who was known as the sort of the chief juju priest, which is a form of witchcraft, had died fairly suddenly. And shortly after that, a second juju priest had passed away. There were three practicing concurrently that we only knew, that to my knowledge, we only knew the name of the one. So the second one passed away. Shortly after that, the third one passed away. The second one passed all of his practice onto his oldest son, who didn't want anything to do with it. And as it was translated to us, he got rid of everything and ran to the church, which is amazing. So there is also a practice that is some other variation of witchcraft that involves dwarves in some way, shape, or form. And the man who is known as the dwarf man, whatever that means, watched this happen to the first of the three juju priests, became afraid of what might happen to him, and as it was translated to us, he also ran to the church. So we're kind of like, by the time we get to this point, all four of us are on our feet looking at this man like, "Tell us this one more time. Can we review this just so we understand everything you're saying?" But the last thing he said, and the whole crowd was responding to what he was saying before it could even be translated to us, was, "Nyanye is broken." Mm. And this is a village that was known in all of Ghana for the stronghold of witchcraft there. And so to have been there and seen that progression, we don't celebrate the death of anyone who doesn't know Jesus. But that's huge in that region. People traveled from all over Ghana, essentially to encounter the enemy. And it's finished.
Thank you.
kidding. We finished Thursday by showing the Jesus film, partly because I was totally confused as to why we had the Jesus film with us and kept asking Josh, when are we showing this? But really, we had it because we were giving it to them as a gift for them to use for outreach, and then we kind of decided, well, why not show it? I mean, it's not like they have movie theaters where they get to go watch videos all the time, whatever. And so I've seen the Jesus film many times in a variety of languages, but to watch it with people who are responding instinctively to something that maybe they haven't seen before is so powerful. We were showing it in English. Most of them do not speak English. Many of them do not read. So they have received from the Lord because they've heard the word spoken. So to see it portrayed visually is really cool. But to hear the response at the beginning when Satan comes out as a snake, to hear them cheer when Jesus heals the sick girl and raises her from the dead, to hear them react when you see that spike get hammered in and you hear that sound. These people just encountered Jesus, like, every time they turned around, and they were so excited about it. It made it easy for us to be excited about it. It was really cool. It was a good day. Thursday was a really good day.
In addition to all that, also on Thursday was the day that we saw definitely a new sound released in worship, where we started singing I Am Free in English, and then we said, well, what is it in your language? And they said, Endenemye. We're like, well, that works with the song. So Josh started singing out Endenemye, and then the Ghanaian woman, singer, worship leader, came up and started singing out Endenemye, and in between verses, she would throw in other prophetic, where the Spirit of the Lord is, but in her language is what she was saying. We didn't tell her that that's what, you know, to say, or, oh, throw this in there. She just started singing that out in between I Am Free, and so then that was, you know, they came up, and we were all dancing together freely, and, Pauline was singing along, and then that was in the afternoon, and then after that was when Pastor Bill got up and shared on throne room worship, and going to the throne room and receiving the things that you need in the throne room, after which he invited them to just put out their hands, as Josh mentioned earlier, and, you know, to go to the throne room, to put out their hands to in a place of receiving and bringing whatever their need is to the Lord. And we were closing up by this point. It was getting later than we had gone on any of the previous days. But, you know, he said, we're pretty much finished here. But we're going to just continue. If you want to just stay here to continue to receive, feel free to do so. And very few people, some that had children that they had to tend to, got up. But for the most part, even though we had already been there during the session for hours at this point, they just stood to receive from the Lord. And then they came up and shared testimonies of, well, I have this financial need, and I saw myself going to heaven, and God was giving me gold, or God was giving me money, or God, one woman came up and, you know, God healed me in the throne room, and I saw it in that time, and I feel it. You know, nobody went over and laid hands on her and prayed for her. We just said, go to the throne room with your needs. And she said, I was healed by God in the throne room. So, just as we said, they really caught it, and it's not just the Americans come and we can go and get healing from them, but I can go to God when I need healing, and he's going to do it, and he's going to use me to then touch other people, because we also talked about that a lot, you know, in the power of worship and what it can do, and just how God wants to use each and every one of us. It's not just for the team of Americans that come, but when you go back to your village, you can do this for the people around you, and God wants to use you in that way. So it was... Yeah, Thursday was a good day. That was all in one day. So, I mean, and it was significant in that it was the second to last day. Friday we had a morning session, and then in the afternoon mostly there was some sharing, and then we mostly did the handing out of certificates, which took a while because there were 140 people whose names we had to figure out how to spell. But it was just really amazing seeing the culmination of everything that God had done during the week, and the things that Thursday was also the day that we invited them to share some of the things that they had learned, and they ended up sharing for an hour and 20 minutes. I thought it was like 40 minutes. It was like an hour and some, that it was just person after person coming up to share things that they had learned. And it was the older ones that were coming up. It was younger ones that were coming up. There was this one boy that would get up and he would just start to preach. We'd be like, you know, what? Share something you learned. And he'd be preaching and everyone would be cheering and we're like, that's so awesome. So it was so fun to see the young ones get raised up, and the women were coming up. Just as much, if not more, than the men. And it was really, really incredible.
Amen. Well, some of the other things that are happening there, outside the Kingdom Bible School, there's a chief, the previous chief of that area, it's called Sola. He came to the Lord before he passed away. And they have a system where another chief takes over, of course. And that previous chief's wife came to the Lord as well, and I think a son, right? So it's under the household. When it starts happening, it's under the household. So the new chief, he, in the time that we've been away, periodically tries to figure out a way to take the land back. That's kind of the way it works in Africa. It's like the Wild West. So here we have this land, it's posted, you know, with pillars, and now it has signs and everything else, but he still would like to take this land back if he could, or sell part of it, or whatever, because it's behind a power station, and it's very attractive to anyone coming in. So we knew that, and we decided to pay him a visit, you know, a friendly visit, and... it's interesting that both the chiefs that we met there had physical problems. And one of the reasons that the first chief came to the Lord was that he kept getting these healings, that as we prayed for him, he saw the gospel many times as we did dramas in front of him. And when it came down to the, you know, time for him to pass on, this all came to his heart at the same time. All these things that he had seen, all these things he had heard, the healings that he had experienced, and he wanted to receive the Lord, and shortly after that he passed away. So this new chief, he speaks English, and he kind of, you know, tries to, you know, give us a hard time, and I give him a little bit of a hard time back, it's kind of a friendly hard time, you know, oh, what are you doing? You're drinking your water. What's going on? He says, well, I need my water. Drink it because it's good for me, and so on. Oh, okay. And just little things like that. So he has these physical problems. Well, we let him know that we want to pray for him. Oh, okay, yeah, he wants prayer. They don't mind having prayer from Christians because they have heard that Christians get healings, and they don't have any of that in the Muslim faith. And so then I also pointed out that Josh is a doctor. Oh, he's a doctor. So wants to tell him the symptoms and what's going on in his body and what diseases he has. But before he can even hardly start in, Josh is telling him what's going on in his body, both prophetically and medically. Wow. Putting the two together and telling the guy. And he's like, that's right. That's what's going on. That's what they've been telling me. And at the hospital. And then he wanted to listen more, you know. This guy knows what he's talking about. And so his wife then says, oh, please. And she wants to talk to Josh in private. So she talks about her female difficulties in private with Josh. And this is the guy that wants to take over our land. Now, think of the impression that we prayed for him for healing. I mentioned to him, oh, you had something wrong with your foot the last time we were here. And we prayed for that, remember? You're concerned about my health. Why, yes, we are. That's one of the reasons we're here. Because we know you're not well. Oh, well, that made an impression on him. Because he just thought we showed up because we want the land and keep the land. And, you know, he wants to get rid of our ownership of it from time to time. He thought that's what it was about, but when he actually saw we cared about him, and that something good would happen in his life. So while we're talking with him, one of his subjects came up. It was an older man, and he lays prostrate before this king, or this chief, lays on the ground full out in deference to this chief. And the chief kind of recognizes it. The guy gets up and blesses the chief and goes and takes a seat. And so I said to him, you know, we do that very thing. I said, what? Who do you do that? We do that very thing. Well, who do you do that to? I said, Jesus. Oh, that's right. Oh, yeah. He's very jolly. But you don't dare, you know, think of it that way, because, again, he is trying to cooperate with the enemy to take the land back. But at the same time, he keeps getting these little revelations. You can just see it coming. Little revelations. And his wife, you know, is getting little revelations. And before long, he's going to bow his knee to Jesus and be prostrate on the ground before the one that can heal him, the one that can save him, the one that can turn him from the darkness into the light. So the encounter with him was pretty special. And we continue to pray for him. We said we'd be praying for him in the service of Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
Touch him, God, physically, that he's healed. And let it draw him into who you are. Because if there's a series of chiefs that come to know Jesus, eventually they will get rid of the background that they have, Father, in that area. And they will fully embrace who you are. That you are the king. You are the only one that deserves honor and praise. You're the only one that deserves us to be prostrate on the ground. No human authority, only you, Father. We pray you would bring that revelation to him. And God, that you would take him from wanting to cooperate with the enemy, kill, stealing, and destroying that region, to cooperating with Holy Spirit to build and give to the people and care about the people. We give you praise in Jesus' name.
Yes, Lord.
Amen. Yes, Lord. Yes. So another thing that's happening there is we met this well-educated Ghanaian a couple of years ago in 2011, who introduced us to the higher chief, the Bole chief, who was over the Sola chief, and has something to do with our land as well. So we met him, and he loved it that we prayed over him. Again, had a Muslim background, the whole deal. Didn't matter. He wanted prayer. He knew Christians. Results. So we prayed over him. His son, who is this well-educated man who led us to the chief 2 years ago. His name's Jeremiah. And he is, he's been educated early on in high school and so on in a Catholic environment. So he has this Muslim area he's from, but he's known a little bit about Jesus by being educated in a Catholic tradition. And then he attends places where he would get a little bit more than that. I'll put it like that. So he has influence. He had influence while he was, when his father was alive, over this area because he was his right-hand man. So we met him in 2011. He wanted to tell us about the community work that he was doing, which is absolutely amazing, I think, from what he describes. That some of these communities are starting to fend for themselves. They're starting to put shares in. They buy shares. They start little businesses. It's all the community's money being used in a good way. And he kind of helps them get started with that. And they get loans for businesses and so on, pay a little bit of interest. And it's just an ongoing thing. It's like they have their own bank. But they kind of need somebody to administrate that. So he has a staff who tries to do that. And he comes to the States and appeals to people like Bill Gates in Seattle and so on, their foundation, and tries to get money to take care of their staff because the communities are raising it on their own. So his belief is that the community will do more than the government. That they will build their own roads, because we've seen the roads in Ghana, and even the ones that have been built have taken decades. And so he believes the community will start building their own roads. They will learn enough about sanitation and medical things and so on that they will be able to upgrade their health and so on without having to, you know, depend on the government to build a clinic, which might be a long, 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 long time. So anyway, very grassroots kind of thing. And he's hooked in with the chief. Well, his cousin became vice president from this northern area, which doesn't happen very often if they even get that far in government. But he was a representative in the parliament from there, and he was chosen as vice president. And so the president died. And so his cousin became president, interim president. And then in 2012, he actually won an election on his own. So his cousin is the president. On the way up to the north, we had heard in Orlando from Reinhard Bonnke, and also Pastor Samuel had a meeting with Reinhard Bonnke down in Florida. And one of the things that Reinhard Bonnke says is, you need to meet the leaders of the country, and you need to pray for them, and you need to be in relationship with them so that it affects what happens in the country. So I'm on my way to Northern Ghana going, I don't know where we're going to be. You know, we're going to the northern part. We're away from the capital city. How in the world are we going to ever meet anybody that has anything to do with the president? And then I'm on the way to church with Pastor Samuel, and I said, oh, so, you know, it's like, I saw a poster, a political poster. Is that the guy, you know, that became president? Oh, yeah, that's the one that became president. And he's from this area? Yeah, he's from the Bole area. And Jeremiah is his brother. Well, everybody's a brother if you're anywhere in the family. So I'm like, his brother? And so as it came out, you know, it was his cousin. But the thing is, I'm going, wait a minute, I just prayed that on the way here, and now we know this Jeremiah. So we met with Jeremiah this week about the land issue, because when a new chief comes in, and the land is wide open again to problems. So I was trying to see what we could do with that. And then we asked him to talk about his dealings in the villages. 24,000 villages, he believes, or 24,000 people in villages in the northern area are being impacted by some of the grassroots community things that he does. And he's also doing special things for the president. He'd just come from the president's palace when he talked with us. And he said, yeah, they offered me a car. I don't want a car from them. Because you get a car from them, you get a driver. You get a driver, you get security. You get all of that, but they want something. And what they want is for you to take a position in the government, you to be under their thumb and, you know, do exactly what they want you to do for the government. He says the government's not the solution. He said this grassroots thing is the solution. Very interesting guy. But I just think there's some kind of connection there that we're going to end up praying for the president. And we'll just see how that plays out. We didn't push that this time or anything, but I think we're going to get some kind of an invitation to pray at the palace for the president, because not too many people like this guy. His cousin is not doing well. The economy is... 2 years ago, I think it was 1 to 1, 1 CD to 1 American dollar. Now it's 2 CDs for every American dollar. So they're saying that it's collapsing, the economy is collapsing itself. Of course, they always say it's collapsing. I don't know how you know it can happen. Anyway, there's some key connections there. So we have to meet this new chief somewhere in the process. We need to have the impact of the gospel, have the impact of the kingdom on these leaders, that at any moment they could just say, well, we want this part of the land back, or we want this, we want that. It's, even though you have paperwork in process, someone dies and then that goes out the window and you have to start the paperwork over or start certain stages of building. So we're just going to believe, aren't we? And God's going to save that land because of the good things that I mentioned that are happening on it. Sorry to go through all those little details, but you need to be praying for these people. Praying that if this Jeremiah is used on our behalf, he had looked at our file, wants to do something on our behalf. He doesn't have as much influence as he used to have with that particular chief. But my gosh, he's in touch with the president, so who knows? That might be a benefit from in some way or another, benefit of the gospel in some way. So Father, we just lift up all that's happening, God. We thank you, God, for all these testimonies, and it's just such a small tip of the iceberg of what you're really doing in that country, God. You are changing what's happening in that country. We felt it change with many of the spiritual leaders, God, that they're actually going after freedom. They're actually allowing women to preach in the pulpit, God. They're allowing that because they see what's happened in frontline with our young women being raised up. And they're willing to let them have their role that they should have with their giftings. God, we know that you want to change even the leaders there. You've done it already with the Juju priests. And their inheritance is going to the dogs, Father. They're being changed around and they're running to the church. The ones that are causing the evil in the people, with the people, as representatives of the destroyer, are now facing the righteous right arm of God coming in and purifying and changing villages, Father. We thank you, God, for the chiefs. Lord, we need your work in their hearts, and we know that's your desire. You sent us. We're going to keep going. He knows we're going to keep coming. The Sola chief, the Bole chief, we need to meet. And God, we know in these relationships, you're going to show yourself strong. Father, in the south, with the land there that we have, God, you are going to preserve it. It's just the Wild West. We ended up at the police station. You know, God, because of your hand moving through some relationships, we end up in the national police station over our little piece of land and having a hearing. Thank you, Lord. You're good. You're making a way to do the impossible in a society that just seems so overcome with lack, as has been mentioned. We pray your kingdom inheritance, your kingdom goodness, Father, your kingdom love for these people will just win out in the end. Father, we see changes even in the infrastructure, God, of what's happening. It shouldn't have happened, but we believe that Christians are changing the atmosphere and it's allowing this progress that shouldn't happen, hasn't happened in decades and decades and decades, and yet it's happening now. The George Bush Highway. The George Bush Highway. Father, incredible. That President Bush was used to release funds to have this highway built. God, incredible. Just how you're working in the time that you've been. We pray you would bless your people there.
Yes, Lord.
Bless them spiritually. Bless them physically. Meet their needs. Cast out the evil. Cast out the destroyer, God. And bring in your powerful presence, God. Thank you for the evidence of that. In so many ways, as we took this trip, we believe it's ongoing. They don't need us to continue to stay there, to go to village after village after village after village. They're doing it. Now, God, we have planted the seed, and we're going to continue to water it. We're going to continue to fertilize it, Father. But you are making it spread. You are making it grow. Thank you, God, that there's a church in the central region, so far away from this area. Thank you, God, that Pauline was brought from so far away because her mother heard about what was going on. God, it's going to draw people in from so many places far away
to this little spot in Ghana, Father. It doesn't seem significant unless you're there seeing what you're doing. We encountered you there. They encountered you there. It was a Bethel where people came and they felt the difference. They knew the difference. They were experiencing you in a special way that will carry them this year. We pray that no one will be lost. They will not lose their fire. That once again, they'll go out to the villages and we'll hear reports of how you helped them because of the Kingdom Bible School. You will help them plant a new church. And a new church, and a new church, and build up the churches that are there as well. We expect that your kingdom will just continue to spread. That's why it's called Kingdom Bible School. You intend to take territory. We know you're doing it. We saw it. We give you praise. We honor you, Lord. We lift up your name so high. God, we know every minute we were depending on the Holy Spirit. What should we share? What should we give? There's so many things we could go into. What are the ones they need? God, you gave it. I know you did. Because the fruit was there when they spoke it back, when they shared, when they talked about their encounters with you. I bless your name for that. I bless your name for that. We received while they were receiving. It's all from our Father's name. We give you praise. We honor you, Lord. We will continue to honor your name in this house. We will continue to be radical in this house. We are not going to step back, fall down, fall away because of the challenges, because of the difficulties, because of scheduling, because of all kinds of things that can come against us. We're going to press in and press on with your strength, Holy Spirit. We know there's territory yet to be taken, and we want to be the ones on the front lines taking it, God. We believe that's where you want us. You don't want us to back off and listen to enemy's lies. You want us to press in and believe for greater things, greater works, greater miracles, greater turnaround in people's lives. More Paulines that receive amazing health mentally, spiritually. Father, that are in such lack, such orphanhood without you, without your touch. And yet afterwards, they come to their right mind. And they can enjoy the joy of the kingdom. Father, we laughed a lot this past week. Past couple of weeks. We laughed so much. We enjoyed the teaching. We enjoyed the students. They enjoyed the time. So much laughter. So many stories and testimonies that we could just laugh at how good you are. Joy. Joy. Joy truly is the strength. And they felt it. We know they did. We pray it carries them, Father. And that we'll see many of them next year. Thank you for providing for the village, what became the village for a week. People coming 2 and 3 days early without a tent just to be ready for when the Bible school started. Thank you, God. What hungry hearts. People that, Father, you inspired to sit there hour after hour when we weren't around. Writing down notes of a language that they didn't even understand. But they knew the revelation was important to them. And if they could just write it down, they could get someone to read it to them. They could embrace it for themselves. They could be touched by God again. Father, let all of those notes be a blessing to them, God. Let them be ongoing in the favor that they give to the people there. Feel closer to them than ever, closer to the leaders than ever. It's because of you. You're doing it. You're drawing us into one body, even though we're on two continents. Bless you. We honor you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Just a few personal things to share about the Corcoran family. So for many of you know these people, so I won't go into all the detail, but many of you don't. If we can pull up that first picture, next one. Or one. There's two. Okay, yeah, there was two. So Pastor Samuel is the kind of leader over all of the Life Christian Center branches. And he has four children, and obviously a wife, Mama Vera. And his children, the oldest is Samuel Jr., Misaki. He's actually here. Many of you have met him. He's going to school here. He's 22. Sorry. Let's try again. And so he's the oldest son. He's 22. Christodia is the oldest of the family. She's 23. I'm hoping to try to get a picture so I can show you guys these. And then Esther is their third. She's 20. And then Lydia is their fourth, and she's 18. So Lydia and Esther both had their birthdays while we were there. So it's really neat because as Pastor Bill was mentioning, we've definitely seen an increase for Mama Vera. Mama Vera, Pastor Bill shared actually at Kingdom Bible School about, the women rising up in the church and being allowed to rise up in the church and their special place in God's heart and all of that. Well, we've actually seen that for Mama Vera. So there's Pastor Samuel on the left. There's his wife, Mama Vera. And then the oldest daughter, is on the right, that's Christodia. And then Esther is in the middle on that one. And then if you go to the picture you just had before. So Lydia is in the green shirt. She's kind of in the middle. Sorry, the face is not brought out because of the lack of flesh and being the son of the background. That's the youngest, Lydia. And then Misaki should be coming, actually. I just got a text from him, so he should be here. Should see him very soon. And he's the second child, the oldest son. So Mama Vera has been preaching at the church more than Pastor Samuel has.
Wow!
So anytime he's gone, he says, "Oh, why bring in a guest pastor? Why does anyone have to preach? My wife, she must do it." I said, "Well, does she like it?" "Oh, what does it matter if she likes it? She must do it." And his laughing style with a smile on his face. And I said, "But does she feel like she's doing well at it? She's empowered." And he looks at me and I says, "I know she is." And I talk to her, she's loving it. You can just tell there's a brightness in her eyes. I can tell in her, she just feels lifted up, empowered in the natural and the spirit. Well, then another thing that she's doing is she started a school. And so they have, currently they have nursery through grade 3. But they only have, they want to have nursery through grade 3, but they only have up to class 1 currently. So this is her school, and she is the headmistress, as they call it. Here's the nursery with one of their teachers. They're reciting the alphabet. The boy would point to the letters, and then he would say it, and then they would repeat after him. A, B, B, C, C, D, D. They're in the nursery.
Wow.
This is a guest lecturer from the United States.
Yes,
and then this is Esther. Esther is actually helping Mama Vera teach currently.
Wow.
So this is class one, and then they have kindergarten, which they call KG 1 and 2, which is the equivalent to our pre-K in kindergarten. And here's the sign. So they're enrolling students. They're only 3 months into it, and they had, you guys remember? I want to say like 7 or 8 or 9?
9.
Okay. So she's has started that. It's in the church building. She's preaching, and in addition to being pastor's wife and mother. And, so we're really just seeing an increase in her and them. So we want to praise God for that. So we can continue to be in prayer for her school and all that she's doing in responsibility for the church. For Pastor Samuel, so he's now, you know, he's overseeing all of these church branches, and they're literally in the far regions of the country from one end to another. And so he's traveling quite a bit with this. And he has that responsibility to be imparting wisdom, to, you know, be imparting unity, to where do funds go, how does all this work? And so we can just continue to be in prayer for him, for his responsibilities there, for continued joy, continued strength, continued wisdom, continued blessing. So some things to think about for them. Christodia is their oldest, and she actually has... Here, Nisaki comes in. We can
here, right here.
So that is Samuel Jr. So I'm just sharing with them some of the things about the what your family's doing and how they're doing. So good to see you. Perfect timing. So Christodia has shows some signs of kind of being on the autism spectrum, but from the first time we've seen her to where she is at now, it's night and day difference. She's improving every day. She's not, you know, completely fully in her, you know, full healing and full right mind, but she knows more English now, understands more English now than she ever has. She's says a lot of words both in Tree and in English. Tree is one of the three languages they speak in their home, Tree, Ga, and English. And so she had been going to school, but she currently is not. The reason why she's not is mainly a practical thing. They had had a taxi driver taking her to school every day and kind of had a better rate because it was guaranteed work. That taxi driver, since his vehicle is broken down and the newer taxi drivers are charging too much. So one thing that we can pray into for the family, Pastor Selma would like actually to buy a taxi and then hire it to a taxi driver. He could then make money off of the taxi, but as the taxi driver's part of his responsibilities could be taking Christodia to and from school. Because when she's at home by herself, then she's not learning as much, and she seems to do better in the structured environment of the school and progresses further that way. And also, it's harder for Pastor Samuel and Mama Vera to think about the responsibilities of traveling in church when Christodia is home 7 days a week. So it's just something that we can pray and invest into, praying about that. If any of you, the Lord leads you to donate towards a taxi or any other thing, please let us know, and we'll make sure it goes directly towards that. I was told it's probably about $4,000 to buy a used taxi could then hire out. And so that's her. And as you guys know, Nisaki is here. He's going to school here. So we can continue to be in prayer for him in all ways, for his schooling and for funding and just God's plan for his life. And we're blessed to... As I told him when I was in the Ghana church, I said, when I'm in Ghana, you know, I stay here with you. When Nisaki has come here, he has stayed in our house, so we are family. Yeah. And they all cheer. Yeah. And Esther is the third child. Esther has graduated from secondary school, and she wants to go into nursing. What happened, though, is I guess in nursing you have to have your after you finish secondary school, which is high school, you take a test. That grade is like your they use for entrance into college. Well, for most programs, they don't require that grade to be finished because you won't get that back until months after you actually graduate. And so they get that afterwards, and they just apply so that it's a seamless transition between a university and a secondary school. Well, for nursing, it's not the case. You have to have your grade, so people start a year later then. Well, at the same time, Ghana took their secondary school from 4 years to 3 years. And Esther was the last class that happened with, so Lydia has started university before Esther, who's 2 years older than her. And so Esther's currently at home, but she's believing to go to nursing school this coming year. So she has to fill out her forms, and they're just trusting God for the finances for that. So you ask any adult in the room who has had children go to college, you can imagine three children going to college all near the same exact time. One in the States, which is four times as expensive, and two in Ghana. So it's a real financial kind of tough time that way. And so just another thing that we can be in prayer for, that the finances would be there, and that everything goes the way that God would have with that. And so that's for sure. She's, in the meantime, been having a lot of, I think, good time at home helping out in the school. And then for Lydia, who's the youngest, just turned 18, she's in a school in Kumasi, which is in the central region, and about a five-hour drive or so from where Pastor Semo and Mama Vera live. And she's studying book publishing with a minor in statistics. Thank you. And so she has already begun school, and we got a chance to visit her. There was a computer donated by someone in the church that was given to her as a gift. We got to visit her guest or her hostel where she's staying, and just see her two times in our trip to and from the north. And so that was really rough. So continue to pray for her, for the continued funding of her schooling, for her continued connection with her family being 5 hours away, and all of that. So just some personal updates on all of them. So they send their love, they send their greetings, they want you all to personally know that they love you, they're so blessed by you. They also wanted you to personally know thank you for the team coming. It was an extreme blessing to their family. A very good personal blessing. The relationship is only now even stronger here. It was such a good thing. And so know that all of you that sacrificed for the team to go, that in God's economy, you're going to be accredited with that just as much as for the people that have went. And so I just extend their personal greetings and blessings to all you as a church and in person.
Just a few words to close. Listening to all this is a super blessing for me. Obviously, you know that Pastor Bill and I have been involved in this since 1999. And what I'm hearing from these four is very significant, because I believe we've reached another place in this ministry. Carly going on this team is very important because she's never been there before. She represents something very significant. She was able to receive a lot from being there and hearing probably a lot of the war stories and such. Like, oh yeah, that's right, but she wasn't there, and came back filled up with a vision. And for those of us who have been there, and those who are on the team who've been there before, they have an understanding of what the Lord has done to a certain degree. And so their impression will be a piece of the puzzle. And what I was thinking when I was standing here, even before sitting here, I thought, Lord, we're going to have to put this all down in writing, because this, to give you the fullest glory, we really need to be able to capture what it is you've been up to the entire time. There are many people who are sitting here who, as Deanne said, have been in dramas, but that was probably one little drop of some of the things that have been involved in securing what God has protected, really, since 1999. So there have been many different things that have been done 12 months out of the year, if not at least in prayer, if not more than that, a lot of communication since 1999, building relationally, and also seeing and being part of the actual literal and spiritual attack to stop God's progress. In the Guacapalm realm for Life Christian Center, in the our realm, in Frontline, Goki realm and such, in the natural and spiritual side as well, there's been this ebb and this flow of the enemy going, I hate this, and God saying, sorry, it's my plan. And then being able to see how that has gone, and God winning every battle, but having had so many battles, to see how the Lord has strengthened people, but also to realize the great inheritance that God has promised. And if we, I believe that wisdom will come as the team who's gone will be, you know, very mindful of that as they're speaking about what they've experienced. And all of the other teams who have gone before, virtually, I don't know how many people in here have been to Ghana, but many of you, and those of you who have gone before and those who will be listening online, you have done a significant work for the Lord. You have been used by God in the largest ways that you may not even begin to appreciate. And while the Ghanaians are running with the church planting, you're part of that. We are church planters, and there's more than doing dramas, and I'm sure that's what you would say. So we do more than just do a drama and then we leave. There have been many, many things to hold that together, to have these churches that have been planted in the south and in the north, but it's for something way bigger than Frontline, way bigger than Life Christian Center. This is something for the kingdom that God is saying that Ghana is a gateway into the rest of Africa and
yes,
beyond.
Lord.
It's very, very important. When I was telling Pastor Jose about the deaths of these Juju people, he says, oh, that happens in Pemba. Because the gospel, for Mozambique, for Iris Ministries, the gospel of the kingdom is on God's heart, and the enemy will do anything to stop it. Anything. And he's relentless and he's ruthless, but our God is relentless and wins.
Yeah.
And he does want to stop people, and he wants to rob people from their inheritance. And the minute we lose sight of that, the minute we can look at things through natural eyes rather than spiritual eyes, and that's a very big mistake. So with all of this having been released to us now, I'm extremely excited about the next wave. I believe we've entered into a new zone, and I believe many of the younger ones here, Carly not being a girl, but being a young woman of God, now stepping into this represents a whole other wave of people coming in. And we also have children much, much smaller and younger. She's not a child, but smaller, who will also say, wow, that's amazing. I want to be involved in this. Because this is a spiritual, familial type of situation that involves the kingdom, that will involve many people around the world. We've already invited Pastor Jose, Pastor Jerseo, and others to go with us to Ghana. They want to be there. Other people will help. You know, God is so serious about this. So with people who have encountered incredibly difficult things with the Lord's help, you know, God is saying, I want to get the glory for this. No person gets the glory. There was a time with Josh and Andy that I'm just reminded of right now, way back on maybe the first mission trip, first or second, when I was extremely sick, and I woke them up in the middle of the night, and I went out and I said, guys, I really need prayer. Well, there's a lot of spiritual things. And whether it was Josh or Andy, I don't remember, but there was a picture that they gave that was very significant, and it was of a dinosaur. And actually the dinosaur, because I was so sick, had snatched me and eaten me, if you will, in the spirit. It was a spiritual representation of what was going on. But as these two prayed for me, I took the sword God had given me in the spirit, and I sliced my way out through their prayer, and I was healed.
Wow.
Okay. That was in the early years. But there are many things like that where the enemy tried to stop us with death. Seriously, and many of you have been very sick and you pressed through. The healing anointing of God has moved past all of that and is now centering in Ghana through a lot of these struggles. You guys have had many struggles, those have been there before, during, and after. And we don't major on attacks, but we do major on Jesus, and he is the one who says, I'm the one who won that battle. I need the glory. Okay? And so you need to see that. You need to think about that. When the Muslim chief that you're hearing about gave the land to us, who's a Muslim chief, and we pray for him in the offices here, okay? He gets saved across the world over the phone and then dies, goes home to be with the Lord. A few years later, his wife gets saved. A few years later, his son gets saved. You're talking inheritance. And the Lord is saying, spiritual inheritance will look like something. It's generational. It will be generational for you, generational for me, generational for this place, generational on this land. And God is saying, hold fast to the vision, even if you've never been there before, because God will open up an opportunity if that's something you'd like to do, to be able to participate in that. You never know what God's going to do with that, but it's bigger than what any of us think. It's bigger than us. It's bigger than the Guacapones. It's bigger. But God says, I want you to see that I want people saved, healed, delivered, going up to heaven, being baptized, as Josh was saying, as Pastor Bill was saying. He says, I want to break down all barriers. I want to break down all human mind thoughts and sets, all opinions of man. I want the power of heaven to invade here and there to be able to cooperate with my plan. And that's a fearful thing. It's a fear of the Lord where you say, God, get me out of the way in what I think. It really better be what you say. And part of that is developing such a deep, deep heart of gratitude that you can only think the best. When you think the best and you look up into the face of the Lord solves all situations. And when we don't do that, then the enemy comes in. And God says, I want you to have my mind. That's the mind of Christ. So when we leave here, what we want to do is be so filled with humility that God says a humble heart will be a heart of great and mighty gratitude, because the Holy Spirit speaks. And when he speaks, he's not saying one thing to one person and one thing to another person. He is speaking, and he's going to give direction for us. He's going to help us guard what God has released to us. That's God. Because we need to listen, as Pastor Bill said. Listen to what he's really saying, and then we come to a center of the minds. And that's how we've been able to get to this place since 1999. Sure, making probably, it's like, whoa, wait a minute. We need to move this way. I thought it was this way. Okay, but let's go. And then overcoming that and seeing God's name glorified. I'm so excited about this. And I just want to offer this to you to think about and to pray through all the different things that everybody has shared. A piece of the puzzle, but the Lord holds the big puzzle. And he says a heart of gratitude and remembrance will change everything, because we'll trust him to work everything out after the counsel of his own will. So nobody loses and everybody gains. In Jesus' name. Be blessed. Thank you for your support. Thank you for all who are here while these guys were overseas. And thank you for what God's doing overseas. Are we so blessed?
Yes.
Are we blessed?
Yes.
If you have been overseas with us before, you kept journals, read them. And let the Lord speak to you about what he's done through you, because it's a big deal. Everything that you ever did, every step you took, even to get overseas, is a big deal. And you have an inheritance with these souls and for these souls. Isn't that exciting?
Yes.
So God bless you. God bless you for every sacrifice you've made that is a sacrifice of praise and love, and God will bring good out of it. Don't forget, because God can save you out of many, many things by remembering. When we don't remember, we become full of ourselves. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Amen.